WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. An appeals court reinstating President Trump's tariffs after two federal courts ruled they should be blocked. The White House threatening to take the fight all the way to the Supreme Court. Harvard gets a win in the legal battle over whether it can enroll international students. A federal judge extending an order blocking the Trump administration's attempt to bar the Ivy League school from enrolling foreign students. Harvard student Funchu John is one semester away from receiving his master's at Harvard and uneasy.
Everybody is wondering the plan for next year, whether we should take a leave of absence, whether we should go back home and finish our semester online, or wait for more guidance from the administration at the school.
In Gaza, Hamas says it's evaluating a U.S. ceasefire proposal. United Airlines and JetBlue have just announced an unusually close partnership. The two airlines will start to sell seats on each other's flights. This is ABC News.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus igniteglassandgifts.com.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Madison will soon have a new director of transportation. The city has hired Christoph Spieler to head Metro Transit, Traffic Engineering, and the Parking Division. Former Transportation Director Tom Lynch retired last month. Spieler has worked with other cities across the country, including Houston, Dallas, and Philadelphia. Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway says he'll be a good fit for Madison's urban character with unique geography. His first day is July 21st. And a story we're keeping an eye on. Authorities from the Environmental Protection Agency are on site investigating a food warehouse in Greene County. According to WKOW, they're at Sabrosura Foods in Monticello. The outlet reports federal agents say the criminal division is on site and their operation is unrelated to immigration. And the Coast Guard is missing pyrotechnics from a Wisconsin beach. Here's Stuart J. Waddles.
If you find a little metal cylinder while you're out looking for beach glass, beware. The Coast Guard is warning Lake Michigan beachgoers to stay alert for three missing pieces of pyrotechnics that could wash ashore. They went missing after a military exercise off Milwaukee's coast earlier this month. The silver cylinder devices can produce intense heat and red smoke if disturbed. One device was already found at Montrose Beach in Illinois. Three remain unaccounted for.
Meanwhile, the American Family Insurance Championship is now just about a week away, and organizers announced this year's celebrity foursome. U.S. Open champ Andy North will host, and the three other celebrity players are soccer legend Mia Hamm, former Packer Charles Woodson, and L.A. Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. The AmFam Championship is next Saturday at TPC Wisconsin.
The Brewers head to Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game weekend series against the Phillies tomorrow night. The crew beat the Red Sox 6-5 in 10 innings yesterday. It was Milwaukee's first three-game sweep of the year. Manager Pat Murphy.
It's a great feeling to feel like you sense that they believe, and that's a great feeling. Our pitching hung in there and did enough.
NFL at the Packers OTA practices. Defensive back Jaire Alexander remains absent. All the team tries to renegotiate his contract. Safety Xavier McKinney asked if he'd like to see Jaire back with the Pack.
We would all like him back. I talk to him every day. Just try to stay connected with him. Obviously, we've developed a great relationship with each other. At the end of the day, like, I'm going to be behind him regardless of, you know, what the situation is going on. We've developed a relationship good enough off the field to where it's like, bro, I just want what's best for you.
That's Xavier McKinney with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated shower or two this evening, then becoming partly cloudy tonight. Lows in the low 50s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and much warmer for tomorrow. High around 80. And mid to upper 70s with sunshine for this weekend. Currently, it's 66.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian singer Rob Paravonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin, and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The John and Gordy Show.
Catherine,
what is
she's
wrong
obsessed with,
her? With
a man in uniform?
Do you get to drive the truck sometimes? What? Hi. What's on here? What?
We're listening into your conversation.
The fire people. They're here. Yeah. The truck's here. Bring the kids.
The fire people.
What's the matter? They've got very big hoses that they have to lift, and they're very heavy. Yeah.
Shiny badges.
Hard to hold those hoses. I'm sure it is.
Oh, God.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX.
A new choice.
Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who prefers to travel by catapult, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. We are kicking off Act 2 here. We are having a great time. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite movie score? And for those of you that might not know, score is what the composer does. It's like the background music or like the Mission Impossible, dun, 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 dun. Not necessarily songs, but you can share songs too. But that's our question of the night. So join the fun and let us know what your favorite movie score is. In just a minute, Norm Kopesky from Appleton Cigar is going to join me here. And then author Laura Enright at 7:20. We are going to talk vampires and piggyback on Mary Pecorny Donlan's popcorn pick of the week, which was Sinners, an excellent choice. And I would be a terrible person if I didn't tell you all about our new Sconny Summer Text to Win contest here at Civic Media. Download the app because you need the app to play. Get the keyword and text it in right away, and you enroll yourself in the opportunity to win mass prizes. Listen throughout the day for your chances at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. Text the keyword in and wait and keep your fingers crossed. The contest begins June 2nd, and it's very easy to do. You could win $100 cash or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. That's every hour. And then our grand prize trips in the Sconny Summer Statewide Text to Win contest are vacation time in either Door County or Baraboo. With gas money, ladies and gentlemen, the gas money, that adds up. We'll get you there, too. So 4 daily chances to win. Good luck, everybody. It starts June 2nd. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome one of our sponsors here at Nightlight, the very talented, very knowledgeable when it comes to cigars, certainly, Appleton Cigar co-owner, Norm Kopesky. Hey, buddy.
Thanks for having me on again.
You're such a big, burly guy. You look like you could, like, crush a beer can with your hands. And here I am wearing my Elton John Elton John readers tonight. They're red. What do you think of those?
Mine. Yeah. I just didn't bring them in.
You got sparkles on them and stuff like
maybe,
that?
Maybe. I'm not going to tell.
I have about 18 pairs of these around my house. I don't know what happened to my regular ones. But anyway, it's great to have you here. You have a really cool event. We talked about it a little bit last week. Let's just refresh people's memory about this awesome event, Smoke on the Fox.
Yeah, so Smoke on the Fox is our second annual multi-vendor event. We're hosting down at Lion Steel Brewery, downtown Nina. And the nonprofit that we're sponsoring is Fox City's Veteran Council with Tim Cody.
Yeah.
Tim's a longtime customer of ours, and he talked about what he was involved in. We're like, let's get on board with this.
Yeah. So
we're one of his sponsors with his golf outing coming up this week. And yeah, so.
And it's your second annual.
Yeah.
Is anything different last year to this year, or are you just expecting bigger numbers pretty much?
Our bigger numbers, but we actually changed it up that we're doing better raffle prizes.
Oh, okay.
So we used to have kind of an auction at the event at the end of the event, which was a lot of fun. A lot of good laughs were cracked, but it was just one of those with the economy. The wells are a little bit dry. And yeah. So we thought, you know what, let's crank up the raffles and we'll just donate a portion of the ticket sales.
People love a good raffle. That's fantastic. All right. So June 2nd, Smoke on the Fox, Appleton Cigar, in accordance with Lion's Tail. I almost said Lion's Den. Lion's Tail Brewing in Neenah. It's a great event. Money goes to a great cause, helps veterans. Tim Cody is, was Tim going to be there?
He is.
Okay.
Yeah.
When he was here, he had too much to drink. Should I say that on the air? Is that, no, I'm kidding. I would never say that about Tim. I don't even know if Tim drinks. Conrad, does Tim drink?
I have no idea.
Let's start a rumor.
As his bartender, I'm never going to tell.
Are you his bartender?
Yeah.
Norm, all right. So for people listening that, you know, that maybe haven't smoked cigars before, maybe ever, you know, I'm sure you get like a wide array of people. You probably get novices and you probably get experienced cigar smokers. So what do you tell people who have never smoked before?
Basically, just get one under your belt.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, that's okay. Can you help me understand what you didn't like about it? And then we can steer you maybe in a different direction. And so it there's so many different varieties of palates.
Yeah.
People enjoy different foods, different beverages, and we can usually help you find something. So
is it the kind of thing where you get, like, is there a brand they should start with? Like, let's say people are just listening and aren't going to go to Smoke on the Fox or can't make it or whatever. Is there like a type of tobacco they should start with or that beginners typically start with?
So typically what we start them with is something that has less nicotine content.
Okay.
So going old school, like if when we were kids, if we got caught with a pack of cigarettes, our dad probably would have made us smoke the whole thing, right? Turn us green. We never touched the
stuff. And get you addicted to smoking.
Right. Well, that's the nicotine. So tobacco naturally has nicotine. There's no additional nicotine added to it like what's in cigarettes.
Okay.
And so it's an all-natural product that... yeah, so the lower the nicotine content, the less likely you are to turn green because of it. And that's usually what most people find objectionable about.
Okay. And you don't, like, you don't inhale cigar smoke.
No.
Typically. I hope not.
Not on purpose.
So, right. So you don't, the addictive thing isn't really there with cigars, right? I mean, I know a lot of people, I love the way they smell. Mm-hmm. I like the way cocaine smells. I'm kidding. That's an old joke. I just outed Tim Cody as a boozer and myself as a cokehead. But that's the old joke. I don't do cocaine. I just like the way it smells. Anyway, all right. Well, that's a rough night here. Okay. So, but it's not something that you can like, could you, you smoke a lot of cigars. You know your stuff. Could you stop smoking tomorrow?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. That's interesting.
Yep.
All the more reason why people should try it, right?
I think so. I mean, a lot of what drives it is the social aspect. There's not a whole lot of solitary, like, smoking a cigar by themselves kind of people. Yeah. So it's part of the experience of mowing the lawn or running a barbecue or...
fishing or poker. Fishing. Yeah, exactly. Do you have guys that play poker in your shop?
We do. We have a standing Tuesday night game of Texas Hold'em.
Oh, man. What are the hours for that?
Game starts at 7, and usually we stay open late till about 11:30.
Conrad, I'm putting in for a vacation day next Tuesday.
Just like, I'll join you.
Giving you a heads up. I've had bad luck with the card games. Like, yeah, I'd go to a bar where they're doing it, but then they crank like headbanging music and they have rebuy-ins and all that kind of stuff. And I was so annoyed. I went all in hoping to lose to get out of there because it's hard to find a good game, at least where I live.
Right. So we try to run a friendly game. So it's tournament style. It's one buy-in, no rebuys.
Okay.
The table takes home all the winnings. The house doesn't touch anything.
How many people usually get?
Anywhere from 9 to 14.
Nice.
On average.
Okay. Oh, good to know. Okay. I want to make very clear, too, Tim Cody is one of the nicest guys I've ever met. He has no problem. He has no problems with anything. I was making a joke, but I do have a serious cocaine problem. Okay. Norm, I'm kidding.
I figured.
I don't want you to, like, okay. All right. But I do love a good cigar. If you like cigars or if you're curious, check out Appleton Cigar. They run a great business. It's a great, and this event is excellent. Where can people get tickets, Norm?
AppletonCigar.com.
Okay.
Easy as that.
Simple enough. And how many people are you anticipating? Do you know?
About 150.
Nice.
Yeah.
And is there a price that gets you into the event, or can they, is it pay as you go? How does that work?
It's there's two options. There's Toro and Toro Grande. Toro is our entry level package.
Okay.
That gets you into the event, 14 cigars, three drinks with Lion's Tail. And then Toro Grande is 20 cigars and four drinks.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. And you told me last time you were here, you like coffee.
Yeah.
With your cigar. I thought that was so cool. And kind of a natural thing, right? Because you got coffee beans, tobacco, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your wife is with you. And I'm not going to put her on the air. Heather, you're fine off camera. But does your wife smoke cigars?
She will on occasionally.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And what does your wife like to? It feels weird that I'm asking you and I can see her in the peripheral here.
Right.
What is Heather like with her cigars?
Her preferred is a Plasencia Alma Forte and Jameson Black Barrel.
Nice.
So nice Irish whiskey.
Well done, Heather. That's fantastic. All right, so check out Smoke on the Fox, a great event. Happens June 2nd, folks. And it's, what are the times again, Norm?
6 to 9 p.m.
6 to 9 p.m. Great ticket packages. Go to appletoncigar.com if you're interested. And I could just tell you, folks, I've been in my share, not a ton of cigar shops, but it's just a great atmosphere, and it's something to be experienced. And why not jump in feet first with Smoke on the Fox, the second annual.
That's right.
Smoke on the Fox. And you like the progress? It's going to keep going?
Like the progress. We like what it's doing for the community. So
okay.
More about that than anything. So
that's awesome. Well, I appreciate you being here, Norm, and I appreciate you. We were going to do this tomorrow night, but you said you prefer to do it in person.
A little easier for me to talk when I see who I'm talking to.
I totally get it. And I, you know, we probably could have kept you for a little longer tomorrow, but I really appreciate, I know you live a ways away, and that's awesome. So I have to ask you something else. Does the name Norm make you the kind of guy people want to smoke a cigar with? It's a great cigar smoking name.
Yeah, yeah. So growing up, I always got the Cheers reference.
Yeah.
And so I kind of always wanted the bar. And so
Nice.
just from that, there was a little bit of a touchstone there. And so I it's fun walking into the lounge and when it's open and ready and our regulars are all in there and they shout it out.
They do say it I was going to do that, but I figure you've heard that so many times in your life, it would be like old hat.
It's fun for me.
It's a great name. It's Norm. It's like a cool like guy's name, and it's a classic name too.
Yeah, very old school.
Can you? How do you feel about doing a quick movie score quiz?
Let's try it out.
All right, Conrad, you ready?
Yeah. So it's not just scores. It's also there's a couple movies that have the songs.
Oh, okay.
That they're really recognizable. So.
All right. So we've got five questions.
Five. Yes.
All right. We've got Norm Kapaski in studio from Appleton Cigar. Check out appletoncigar.com. He'll set you up. He'll even tell you what you should drink with your cigars, folks, because there is an etiquette to this. And he's going to take our Nightlight movie score quiz. Norm Kapaski, Conrad, number one, if you please. You know it?
Pretty sure this is Indiana Jones.
It is not.
No, wait, don't tell me.
Yeah.
It's not E.T. Oh, God. Do you know it, Heather? God, how is this bothering? All right, go ahead.
Marty McFly?
Oh, Back to the Future. Oh, now I get it. All right. So Norm and I are taking this together. We'll do this, and we're 0-for-1. We'll even putting our heads together. All right, number two.
This is the song.
Okay. I know this one. Bill Murray.
Oh,
Chevy Chase.
Caddyshack.
Norm is on it. Do we get the ding? What happened to the game show one?
Well, I'm using the same program, so I can't use it in the same.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna get ready. We'll do it in stereo. All right. We're 1-for-2. Norm got that one. Caddyshack. We missed on Back to the Future. I felt like I should have got that one too.
Here's the next one.
All right, number three. I know it. I'm giving Norm a hint, but I'm not giving him the answer.
I'm going to go Home Alone.
Yeah!
Yes!
Double bells. All right, baby. That's in stereo. Norm Kapaski is 2-for-3, ladies and gentlemen. We both missed the first one. Number four.
We don't got time for another one.
What? All right, we'll have to end it there. 2 for 3. That's pretty good, right?
That's pretty good.
Are we out of time already?
Yeah.
I blame you, Conrad. All right. Hey, thanks, you guys. Thank you. Norm Kapesky. Heather Kapesky. Didn't want to say anything. I didn't renege, right? All right, we're coming right back with author Laura Enright. So we're going to talk vampires. Check out Smoke on the Fox. June 2nd, go to appletoncigar.com for more information. Have a great time, everybody. Thanks, Norm.
Thank you.
All right, we're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
He's trying to tell me something, but we'll have to stop thinking about it. I don't know. I doubt it. Subterranean by design.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Dismantling the IRA and other federal clean energy incentives will add a half a gigaton of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. That's according to modeling from Princeton University. House Republicans passed aggressive cuts to clean energy incentives in their latest budget. The Senate is now considering the bill. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin has given the green light for a major build-out of fossil fuel-burning power plants in Wisconsin. We Energies wants to build new gas plants and operate them for 30 years, largely to meet the needs of Microsoft's new AI data center. It's turtle nesting season, and the DNR is asking drivers to slow down on roads near wet areas, lakes, and rivers. Wisconsin's 11 turtle species lay eggs from late May through June, when you can often see them along roads and in yards. You can help keep them safe by being alert when driving through their habitat. For a deep dive into environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Peach Wabba. I am Peach Wabba. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night of a short week, presumably. Hopefully you guys didn't have to work on Monday, but the weekend is right around the corner, and we are trying to get you there with some laughs and some insights into all things entertainment here at Nightlight. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite movie score? I said Midnight Run. I also love The Sting, and it's funny, during the break, before I brought Norm onto the show, he said Last of the Mohicans, and I have that written here, too. That's one of my top five, Daniel Day-Lewis. Really phenomenal score. So I meant to bring that up with Norm when he was here in studio. He did quite well with our quiz. And so that's our question of the night. Let us know what your favorite movie score is. As we segue, ladies and gentlemen, this is exciting. I saw Sinners recently. I don't know that my next guest has. We sort of went back and forth, and I think she had yet to see it. But either way, she is the author of several books, all of which are very interesting on different topics. She's written about mobsters. She's written about the movie Meet the Parents and the journey that screenwriter Greg Liano went through with that film and getting it made through the studio system. And now Laura Enright, folks, joins us tonight to talk about vampires because she's written two books on the topic. And it is so great to have her back on Nightlight. Hey, Laura.
I have three books.
Three books?
Two fiction and one nonfiction.
No kidding.
That's the one that you still have to get.
So wait, nonfiction. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Vampires Most Wanted. This is that guy.
Vampires
Most Wanted. That's the nonfiction one. That has all the like trivia and stuff in it.
Okay. So I saw that on Amazon, and I noticed you sent me two other books.
I sent you this one. It was out of stock when I sent it to you.
No, I love getting free books, but I'm not. but explain the nonfiction part of it, because these are fiction books, and we'll talk about those as well. But when you write about vampires, which supposedly don't exist, how do you write nonfiction?
Well, I wrote the book Chicago's Most Wanted, and it's a book of trivia about Chicago, and it's put out by Potomac Press. Well, Potomac Press asked me to write another one, and I thought, well, vampires, I was trying to work on vampire novels, so I said, I'll try this. Maybe I'll get my foot in the door with publishing the novels. So it's basically just like, each chapter is devoted to a particular thing. Like, I do have movies in there. I have music. I have legends. And what I found as I was reading it was, it's kind of amazing how much there is out there on the subject, if you dig.
Yeah.
It's really kind of fascinating. And we're sort of been trained to just think in terms of one particular or two particular style of vampires, but there's a whole world. They're in like most cultures. So it was kind of interesting.
You mean the lore is there?
The lore.
Or the legend?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are some people who do believe they're vampires.
You know, that... I know there are. And I met, I don't know where, it was a casting call or something, and they were in the next room, they were looking for actual vampires. It was a different project, probably a low-budget horror or something. But there were people that showed up with fangs, and, I assume they were fake, but they claimed to be vampires. And I was like in my early 20s at the time. I didn't want to ask questions. I was scared. I was like, are they going to try to bite me, whether they're vampires or not? Are they going to actually act like vampires? It was a little intimidating. What's been your experience? Have you ever met someone who claims to actually be a vampire?
No. I mean, I've met some energy vampires who sap your energy, but as far as, some of the ones who believe they're vampires will go as far as getting implants, like,
yes.
But it's, I think that was big, especially around the time of Anne Rice's books coming out. And it kind of gives people a chance who may feel on the outskirts of society or for whatever, it gives them a chance to feel included.
Right.
So, they, it's like anybody enjoying something. So they go with that. Yeah.
Well, these days, I mean, people claim to be whatever they want to be, and I don't care. It doesn't affect me, but that would be intimidating, though, I think, meeting someone with implants,
On the first date.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you left that off your Tinder profile, pal.
Yeah.
So where did the idea, and maybe you don't know this, and I don't expect you to be an expert. You wrote two great fiction books, but where is the idea of the vampire come from? Who started it? Do you know?
I don't know if anyone in particular started it. I think at the core of the vampire is the notion of the parasitic creature. Hmm. And it needs to feed off others to live. And it could be blood. It could be energy. I don't know if you ever watched What We Do in the Shadows, the movie or the TV show.
A couple episodes,
it's fantastic. The TV show has an energy vampire in there. So it's like, it could be that. The classic Star Trek did a story about a salt vampire where the woman had to suck salt to survive. Huh. So it's that kind of thing. And you see that, when it comes to blood is so sacred in so many cultures and so many religions and thoughts and stuff that, of course, that really makes it. But I think it's more the notion you're going to have... Like, for example, what I discovered was a lot of the cultures around the world, it was often about a cautionary tale. So don't do this or you'll turn into a vampire. Don't do this against society or you'll turn into a vampire, that sort of thing. Or you may be, don't go into the woods because you might end up being caught by a vampire. So it's that they had some one where if you did business over, I think it was in Greece, if you did business over a coffin, the person inside might turn into a vampire. So you see that a lot in a lot of the ancient legends and lore. It's changed a lot over the centuries.
How kind of business do you do over a coffin? Was it like a...
maybe paying for the coffin.
Gentleman's bet or something? Yeah. All right.
You're getting out of that coffin if you don't pay for it right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, all right. Author Laura Enright is here on Nightlight spending some time with us. We are going to do the news, and then we are going to jump into her two vampire books, which are really cool. And that is all coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. And we'll read your text, too. Keep those texts coming, folks. It's the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to have you.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. An appeals court reinstating President Trump's tariffs after two federal courts ruled they should be blocked. The White House threatening to take the fight all the way to the Supreme Court. Harvard gets a win in the legal battle over whether it can enroll international students. A federal judge extending an order blocking the Trump administration's attempt to bar the Ivy League school from enrolling foreign students. Harvard student Funchu John is one semester away from receiving his master's at Harvard and uneasy.
Everybody is wondering the plan for next year, whether we should take a leave of absence, whether we should go back home and finish our semester online, or wait for more guidance from the administration at the school.
In Gaza, Hamas says it's evaluating a U.S. ceasefire proposal. United Airlines and JetBlue have just announced an unusually close partnership. The two airlines will start to sell seats on each other's flights. This is ABC News.
The Brewers head to Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game weekend series against the Phillies tomorrow night. The crew beat the Red Sox 6-5 in 10 innings yesterday. It was Milwaukee's first three-game sweep of the year. Manager Pat Murphy.
It's a great feeling to feel like you sense that they believe, and that's a great feeling. Our pitching hung in there and did enough.
NFL at the Packers OTA practices. Defensive back Jaire Alexander remains absent while the team tries to renegotiate his contract. Safety Xavier McKinney asked if he'd like to see Jaire back with the Pack.
We would all like him back. I talk to him every day. Just try to stay connected with him. Obviously, we've developed a great relationship with each other. At the end of the day, like, I'm going to be behind him regardless of, you know, what the situation is going on. We've developed a relationship good enough off the field to where it's like, I just want what's best for you.
That's Xavier McKinney with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. History is being made at Max. The streamer just renewed the show Hacks for a fifth season. The show starring Gene Smart is a critic's darling, having won a total of 8 Emmy Awards. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the renewal for season 5 makes it the longest live-action running show in Max history, which is really impressive given that the streamer has only been around for 2 years as Max. Not sure how that adds up. Producers of the show announced the fifth season Tuesday night, just 2 days before the finale for season 4. To say actors need thick skin in the entertainment racket would be an understatement. Kathy Bates recently told Vanity Fair she really wanted the role of Frankie in the 1991 film Frankie and Johnny because she had originated the role on Broadway. Her dreams, however, were crushed when producer Gary Marshall told Bates that the idea of her kissing a man on screen was not what people wanted to see. Why are people the way they are? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated shower or two this evening, then becoming partly cloudy tonight. Lows in the low 50s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and much warmer for tomorrow. High around 80. And mid to upper 70s with sunshine for this weekend. Currently, it's 66.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll see what's happening in the state capitol, the Joint Finance Committee in terms of our tax dollars, and what's worse, handshake or fist bump. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
1, 2. It was a teenage wedding, and the host was wished them well. You can see that the air truly loved animals.
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. Tomorrow night on the show, Wisconsin Film Incentive advocate Rex Sykes will be here at 6:35. Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cusco will be here at 7:05, but he is going to talk about Andor. He just binge-watched both seasons. He's a huge fan, and we'll talk to Jimmy about that at 7:05. Always fun to talk TV with Jim. And then it is Bar Band Friday night. Terry Barr will not be here. She's taking a well-deserved vacation, but her partner at Max Inc. Radio, which you should listen to every Saturday night from 6 to midnight here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Rocker will be here filling in for Terry. So a great show tomorrow night as well. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our current guest, author Laura Enright. She's a Chicago-based author who has written about the mob, written about the movies, and tonight we're talking about her three vampire books, but two fictional vampire books. I'm holding the first one up here for those of you watching on the stream. It's called To Touch the Sun. Laura, tell us a little bit about this book. Was this your first book? I was looking at it before. Or is it your first vampire book?
It's my first vampire book.
Okay.
Yeah. It tells the story of a young man who from India who fought in the First World War, and through what I call feral vampires, he's transformed into what is a sentient vampire. And it's kind of one of the things I always liked about the idea of vampires is exploring the sort of victim of circumstances idea. So what I wanted to people my books with were crazy vampires, intelligent vampires, you know, good, evil. You don't get a moral compass just because you turn into a vampire.
Right.
So I wanted to explore how this very ethical, moral young man has to then maneuver his life through his life. And at some point when the book starts, he's lost the woman that he's loved and has also been his food source. She's died. So now he has to go back to what he considers like pickpocketing. He doesn't have to kill the host, but he does have to feed, or, you know, it forces, nature forces him. So,
wow.
That's kind of where that is at.
So, all right. For those of us who are novices when it comes to vampires, what does that mean? Like, can you break that down a little bit? You got a feral vampire and a sentient vampire. And the main character's name is it Narain Khan?
Narain.
Okay.
Khan.
Does he come to, is this set in Chicago?
It is.
Oh, so he comes
when it
over.
Opens.
Okay. And so he's bit, obviously. He's bitten.
Yeah.
And he becomes
I forgot. He came to Chicago decades before he opened a restaurant.
Okay.
So he's right. Also a cook. So that was one of his dreams when he was younger. And the World War One kind of almost lost it on him. But then he was able to achieve it through this woman that he met, I think, in the 40s. And then when she died, by that time, he's had a really famous restaurant in Chicago.
Okay, so tell us the difference between a feral and a sentient vampire.
So a feral vampire is something that is just about feeding. It's like a shark. It's just about feeding. Okay. A sentient vampire can move among people. This is just something I termed, but you see it in other shows as well. You know, you see it in other things. But they can move among society and be okay. When I was researching Vampires Most Wanted, I was reading on the director of Nosferatu and Murnau, and he I thought he stated that when he was in the war, they were sitting on the by the trenches, and they looked out over no man's land, and they saw these figures. But what he actually stated was that he had listened to the stories of the people, the townspeople in, you know, nearby the trenches and stuff. But in my mind, I transformed it. So I thought it was the coolest idea to have these feral vampires just basically taking advantage of, because they were dead and dying in no man's land. A lot of times they couldn't go out and get the bodies. So, you know, because there's the snipers from each side. So I just thought that was a cool idea. And that's kind of what happened tonight.
Totally. All right. And then I wanted to ask you, when you say food source to a vampire, is that some, I don't even want to guess because I'm just such a novice. So please explain that.
Basically just, you know, what he needs to, in my books, for example, it's a microbial disease that takes over the body. So the microbes need the sustenance that they get from blood specifically.
Okay.
A lot of tales are doing more and more scientific ideas when it comes to this, but that's kind of how it is. A food source, we discussed it earlier, food source can be, I remember the X-Files had an episode once of a guy who needed to suck fat out. See, he was speaking of dates. He would get blind dates, and then he'd, you know, suck the fat out of the girl. So, that's basically the food source. And in my vampires, they don't suck them dry. There are some tales where they suck them dry, where they can't control themselves. Ferals, in my books, can't control themselves very well.
Oh, that's really interesting. And I think I remember that episode of the X-Files, to be honest with you. So. author Laura Enright is my guest. She's a Chicago-based writer and has written several books, and we're talking about two of her books tonight about vampires here on Nightlight. So where can people find – I love that title too, by the way, To Touch the Sun, which for vampires is a great conundrum there.
Yeah.
Where can people find that?
You can go to laura-enright.com, and I have links to the books on there, or you can get them on Amazon.
Are there places you can get them other than Amazon? Because I know some of our listeners are trying not to give more money to Amazon.
Yeah. I think unfortunately at this point they are a little older books. I think at this point it really Amazon is the only one who has them, unless you go to a bookstore.
There you go.
And maybe you can get them that way. But, you know, order them, special order them. The ones that I wrote those, the first one was 2008, I think it was published. And, oh, no, 2014.
And the second 2014,
one, yeah. And so it was, but unfortunately, the publisher didn't last. It was a small publisher. So I now need to go find, because I have all sorts of other books, ideas for the series. So I have to find a new publisher.
I'm sure that's fun. I have to say, I feel like with, you know, the remake of Nosferatu that was out last fall and Sinners, that there's probably going to be a renewed, it's probably a cyclical thing, right? With vampires, we haven't heard from a vampire story in 5 or 10 years. Now they're back. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the second book. And I don't want to attempt to say this name, but here is the
Ujjali.
Ujjali. Okay.
Ujjali, yeah.
I'm holding
that's
it up.
That's the name That's a name. That's somebody's name. It's hard. There's a little bit of a twist in there, but it's basically an act that Narain did after he turned into a vampire. He went back home. An act he did then has repercussions down the decades.
Okay.
And now he has to deal with basically ghosts coming back to haunt him, sort of thing. You know, that sort of thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So look for these books, folks. How much research did you have to do? Like, you know, I'm a writer too. I think you know that. And a big thing with me and our mutual friend, Greg, when we would write, just movies, but Yeah, I'm not smart enough to write a book. I just want to say that right now. I don't know how you do it. Like movies, you have parameters and page marks you have to kind of hit, plot points, that kind of thing. The idea of writing a book to me seems so overwhelming. But do you have to make this plausible in any way? Do you create the parameters within this world since it's fantasy, a fantasy thriller? Or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, like for my own self even, I needed a grounded reason for vampirism. Okay. So once I decided it would be a microbial disease sort of thing, then I could take it from there. And then you have to world build basically about, you know, can all the tropes, can the sunlight hurt them? That's not in every tale, but in my tale it is. Other tropes that are found, do you want to use them? And if you do, how do you use it with the way you're building that world? So yeah, it could be like, I did a lot of research on World War I to get that idea right, to get the vibe right.
Right.
And actually it was really fascinating. I mean, we don't know enough about that war. I mean, as far as like, we're not taught enough about that war. It's a really fascinating war.
Did you see, what recent vampire films have you seen? Did you get to see Sinners or did you? Tell me your thoughts, please.
I thought it was fantastic. It was brilliant. You know, what was interesting about it was, and I'm not giving really that much away. The vampires don't play a huge portion in the beginning of the movie.
Right.
But you're still so sucked in by the filming, the directing. The music was fantastic. And there was actually even a poetry to the dialogue that I thought was, you're just so gripped by that. You're like, okay, if you're a vampire fan or something, I'm like, okay, I'll go along for the ride and see what happens. And it does. It works great. It's fantastic.
It was so great. And you're right. The vampires, it's kind of fun because you know it's coming, but they do make you wait, and it's kind of a long, I think it's over 2 hours, but I wonder if they added that scene, like, and again, this isn't really a spoiler, but at the beginning, a kid comes into a church covered with blood, holding a guitar, and his dad is the preacher, and he has these flashbacks where you know horrible things happen, and then you don't see the vampires for like an hour, and I wonder if the studio made them put that in just to say, hey, something's on the way here, and it's pretty creepy.
They might have. I remember when I watched it, I was like, it was such an excellent storytelling device to get to the next deal. They might have decided that, you know, we got to put this in
absolutely
whet people's appetites.
what are some other things about vampires? Like, I love that they can't touch the sun, or not touch the sun, but be in the sun. And that's a great thing about Sinners. At the end, one of them says, I haven't seen the sun in however many years he's been alive. Yeah. I love that creepy, weird element. But also, Sinners played into the idea that they had to be invited in, which I forgot about.
Yeah, that's a really cool idea. That's a cool idea from legend, from lore.
Okay.
You also have something similar where the vampire, not in this movie, but the vampire can only feast on its relatives sort of thing.
Oh, wow.
I love that idea that, you know, you can't let the right one in. Was that very same one? I don't know if you're familiar with that film. I think it was from Sweden. Yeah.
I did not.
It's a Swedish vampire film. Check it out. It's gorgeous. It's wonderful. And that's where the title is from. Let the right one in. It's like the vampire in there has to request to enter house of the person that she has befriended.
And it was so fun in Sinners trying to get them. To get themselves invited.
I know.
We have someone listening on the stream. Deirdre Edwards says, Laura Enright, amazing. And then she sent another text in. Deirdre Edwards, Laura Enright, very interesting. And I totally agree. Thank you, Deirdre, for listening.
Thank you, Deirdre.
Yeah. And then our mutual friend, Greg Liana, says, Pete, you like cigars? Not when I used to smoke them when we were where we used to write. All right, Greg thinks he's got this big gotcha moment. Greg smokes them every day. I'm not that guy, and I didn't mean to insinuate that I am. Laura, this is really fun.
It can be heady, though. It can be heady, though, when you're smoking a cigar and you're trying to concentrate.
Oh, yeah. And Greg smells like he smells like cigar smoke anyway, so I got the residual effect. Thank you so much, my friend. Let's do this again. Keep up the great work keep us posted on anything you're working on.
Hey, can I mention really quickly a score, author of a score?
Absolutely. We have about 20 seconds. Please,
doesn't get enough love. Ennio Morricone.
Who? Oh, Yeah, I know.
He did the spaghetti westerns.
Oh,
no. Clint Eastwood westerns.
Awesome.
Those scores are gorgeous. So yeah, I would check out the best of Ennio Morricone.
Thank you so much. Great choice, Laura. All right, have a great night. Thanks so much. Very welcome.
Take care.
Bye-bye. We're coming right back to wrap things up and read your text. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Buying a home is kind of like eating pistachios. Some are easy to open, some take a little work, and every once in a while, you get a tough one that makes you question your life choices. That's where we come in. At Aaron Weber Group, we crack open the market and find you the perfect home. Whether you're looking for a cozy starter home or a mansion with a snack pantry big enough for a lifetime supply of pistachios, we've got you covered. Call Aaron Weber Group at Powered by Compass today. We'll help you find a home that's nothing but perfect.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, a time to pause and remember your mental health is as important as your physical health. Jeff Olson's son struggled with stress and anxiety, and this father from the UP says he's speaking out to save lives.
He came to us, asked for help as a junior in high school, fought it for 3 more years, had a couple suicide attempts in between there. The anxiety and depression was too much for him, and he ended up taking his life. My wife and I felt the need to speak up and not hide this in hopes of educating people so they didn't have to go through what my son Daniel went through.
If you're struggling, you are not alone. Reaching out is a sign of strength, not weakness. The Suicide or Crisis Lifeline is available 24/7. You can call or text 988 anytime. Again, 988. Let's choose to connect and care for ourselves and others this month and every month. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocent is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Fun show tonight. Thank you to Laura Enright for being here and discussing her vampire books. Thank you to Norm Kopeski. Enjoy Smoke on the Fox, everybody. Check it out if you're in the area. And, of course, Mary Picorni Donlin, who did the popcorn pick of the week and suggested Sinners, and that was an excellent choice. I should also point out this is National Wisconsin Day, Conrad. What have you done to honor our fair state? You got a Brewers jersey on. That's something, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I'm supporting the Brewers. I drove on Wisconsin roads.
Oh, well done. You're a taxpayer. We could close the show with
You know what else
jump
I did?
Around.
I ate some cheese today.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. I think that celebrates it right
there.
Did
you eat cheese yesterday?
Well, yeah.
Every day is Wisconsin Day. Our question of the night, folks, was what is your favorite movie score? Christine from Slinger says, that's the 414, by the way. She says, Phantom of the Opera, Andrew Lloyd Webber score. Excellent, Christine. There's some great music in that show. Lori from Hayward says Irving Berlin's White Christmas. Don't know if it's actually or per se. She said, don't know if it's actually score, but nonetheless, it's a classic. Lori, thank you. And that totally counts. Very well done. Lori also tried to correct herself. She said that was supposed to say, I didn't know if it's actually score, but nonetheless, it's a classic. And I could not agree more. Jameson from Pennsylvania, he's in the 814, says favorite score film, The Rocketeer. Very nice. The composer was James Horner. He was great, did so many movies, Titanic, Braveheart, Apollo 13, Field of Dreams, Avatar, and much more. Excellent choice, Jameson. I don't know. He's just one of those names. Those are great credits. All I remember was going to see The Rocketeer with Jimmy Pardo on the road, and I bought my ticket first. I said, one for The Rocketeer, and he went up behind me and said, one for Oscar, please, which was the Sylvester Stallone movie playing in the next theater. And it was a fun inside joke. All right. Janine from, Clint from Wanakee. That's the 608, folks. Representing tonight. Tangerine Dream, the soundtrack for Thief with James Caan. That is an awesome choice, Clint. They did a lot of Michael Mann stuff. I think they did a lot of the music in Manhunter and maybe even Heat. Awesome choice. Bridget from the 818 says, Last of the Mohicans is my favorite. It captures the film's tone so well. The emotions the score evokes are the highlight of the film. And she's in cahoots with Norm from Appleton Cigar, who said the same thing, and I could not agree more. Last of the Mohicans is a great one. Steady Eddie weighing in. It's about time, Steady Eddie. Thought we missed you tonight. He says, my favorite movie score was from the movie Rudy. The score was Notre Dame 27, Georgia Tech 14, Yay Rudy, Go Irish. Steady Eddie. Do you remember the Rudy score?
Oh, I remember that. I haven't seen that movie in a while.
Yeah, same. I didn't know that either. All right. Turning to the text, we got to play catch up here. Dave says, Forrest Gump. That was the pregnant Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump. That's a great one, Dave. The music throughout that movie is excellent. The songs and the score. That's a music phenomenon as a movie. He says, Dave continues and says, I think we should do a Let's Dress Pete game. Either Conrad or the audience picks. This is probably because I made a joke about my Elton John sunglasses. Glasses. Why do we keep calling them sunglasses? And I had Norm sitting here. And, you know, I'm very comfortable with my masculinity. But Norm is like a dude. You see this guy? He's like stacked. He's like, stout, whatever they call it. He's got that voice.
And the beard.
It would be great if he was like a high tenor falsetto.
Yeah.
Norm's all dude. That's awesome. And I was just making a joke. I love my Elton John glasses. They rule. Dave says, we were talking about urinals before, and Dave says, you haven't been to Wrigley and peed in a trough. That is even more animalistic.
You know, there's a bar I'd go to in Milwaukee that had that. It's like, why is it hard to put a urinal in here?
I mean, it's just because, like, I don't know. I think urinals are weird.
Yeah. I mean, it's even weirder.
Especially without the dividers. I mean, I use them, whatever, but those troughs are like, here's what we think of you, gentlemen.
Well,
Whip them out and go to town. And Wrigley's weird, and I don't know if they had him at County Stadium or not, but I remember as a kid looking down and seeing like 30 dudes all being, you know, like you're a kid, just like, what is going on in here? Nick Wallander says, Let the Right One In is phenomenal. The original is great. The American remake is good, but loses some of the atmosphere. Nick is crushing it tonight. He's on like every single.
He is.
He's banging on all cylinders. Dave also says, I said that well before she did. Oh, that's funny. And then Greg Liena, closing things out, says, Abbott and Costello, Meet Frankenstein, great score. I remember that. That's a great movie. And I'm totally due for a rewatch on that one, Greg. If you have not seen Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, it is an absolute classic and an absolute fun movie. Scary to a kid, anyway. I was scared. And I remember my buddy John Corwin, who's my dad's friend, really passed away about a week and a half ago, said when he watched Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, he was like 7 years old. It's a small town Wisconsin kid. He had a loaded shotgun under the couch. A 7-year-old. Like, it's funny the things you learn about people after they pass away. Like, such great stories that John has. Good stuff. Hey, thanks, everybody. It was really fun tonight. This was fun. We'll do it all again tomorrow night. We'll close out the week, hopefully, in positive fashion. Conrad, yeah. What do you foresee tomorrow night being like? We've got Bar Band Friday.
I think it's going to be a great. It's going to be a great Christmas day.
Because this is the Christmas Eve
exactly.
of weeknights. I totally agree. And happy Wisconsin. It's our. We are the 30th state. Right.
Yeah, I believe
a state since like 1940. Yeah, the 30th state in, like that. That's kind of cool.
In 1840.
Wisconsin's a dream. I came here as a kid all the time, and it was like the promised land. It was so much fun, and now to live here full time is pretty cool. And do you have something we can close that really shows our love? Oh, I love that. All right, folks, tomorrow night is a Bar Band Friday night. Rocker filling in for Terry Barr. Film incentive advocate Rex Sykes and our pal Jimmy Cuska is going to talk about Andor, his favorite of all the Star Wars. We'll do that all tomorrow night. Again, on behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The White House is defending its position on President Trump's tariff policy after two federal courts blocked most of the tariffs, saying they're unlawful. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt.
We intend to win. We already filed an emergency appeal. We expect to fight this battle all the way to the Supreme Court.
Elon Musk's put down his chainsaw. The world's richest man says he's exiting Doge, leaving Washington. The news coming after Musk broke with the president on his budget bill. Musk concerned about the level of spending. Israel has accepted it, and Hamas says it's evaluating a U.S. ceasefire proposal put forth by Steve Witkoff. It would basically see a 60-day temporary ceasefire in exchange for Hamas releasing some hostages. In the Sean Diddy Combs sex trafficking trial, a former personal assistant testified today that the hip-hop mogul sexually assaulted her, threw her into a swimming pool, dumped a bucket of ice on her, and slammed a door against her arm during a torturous 8-year tenure. This is ABC News.